You're with Stateside. I'm April Baer. Isle Royale is one of the least visited of our U.S. national parks, but if you've ever been there, you will understand why so many people go back again and again. The pandemic threw a real curveball at our gem of island wilderness located in Lake Superior. With ferry service suspended last summer, those wanting to go had to figure it out on their own. So with the restrictions now lifting, what does Isle Royale have in store for 2021? With us now is Liz Valencia. She's head of the Cultural Resources Division at Isle Royale. And Denise Swank, the park superintendent, who started the job within the past year. Denise, Liz, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. Pleasure to be on.
Thank you.
Liz, I'd like to start with you. You've been with Isle Royale in various professional jobs for 30 years or so. I got to believe that last summer must have been completely surreal for you with so few people on it. What was that like?
It was a bizarre year, I have to say. Being on Isle Royale for almost 30 years, it was the strangest summer ever. It was very quiet. We only had the seaplane and private boaters coming in. But the people who made it to the island had a wonderful visit. It was a very different summer. Every summer is a little bit different based on weather and the way the season plays out. But wow, last summer was crazy. We're really glad to be getting back to a more normal summer this summer, for sure.
Denise, at the same time, you became the park superintendent right in July last year. That seems like a heck of a time to start a new gig. What was that experience like for you?
I think Liz used the word surreal. It certainly was interesting. I didn't get to Michigan until the end of August and out here on the island, fortunately, for about 6 weeks in September and October. So even if it had been a normal year, that's by that time of year, visitor services would have been mostly shut down. So I can't say I have anything to compare or contrast against, but it was delightful to have that introduction to the island. And I've been out here now for almost 2 weeks with the opening crews that are here, getting things set up and facilities ready and open and getting water and electricity and things like that that folks expect to have. So it's really good to learn how all those operations get started up. And I think today is actually the first one of the ferries is coming in today for the first run of the year. So pretty exciting.
Was it different getting to know the land and your staff under those circumstances?
You know, I think in some ways it was, there were some real benefits to being here at that time of year without visitors and having kind of the full attention of staff time and my own time to begin to get to know the island. I only made one trip around it last fall with our facility manager. So it's been a bit of a challenge over the winter, you know, when people are talking about projects here and there or different trails and things that I haven't had the opportunity to see yet. It's a little harder to imagine those places and understand the complexities that might be faced at any particular situation. But starting to get back out now this spring, I've been to Malone Bay and Chippewa so far. Those are my two new locations for the spring. So it's all good, as they say.
For sure. Did either of you happen to notice if Mother Nature appreciated fewer folks on the island? There is an alert on the Isle Royale website noting that at least one trail is closed due to beaver damage. Have the kids been having a house party with the adults gone, so to speak?
Boy, those beavers, we never know what they're going to do from year to year. And we had them build a huge dam over the winter last year. And so when we arrived on the island and they saw that beaver dam, it's like, oh boy, it's a good thing that we're going to keep this trail closed this year. So the trail crews are out right now and they're going down the trails to see what shape they're in. And we really are expecting that the Manong Trail, that was the trail that was closed last year, we're expecting that we'll probably see some trees down, maybe some more beaver dams. So it will take them a little bit to get through that trail and get it open back up. But yeah, every spring when we arrive, there's something that the wildlife has done that's been interesting. And I think that people were seeing a lot of moose around before on the island, and maybe this summer, you know, the moose will be surprised to see visitors again. I guess we'll find out.
I have no doubt that from the beaver and moose perspective, they felt like it was a year when they could finally start getting the place looking like it's supposed to look.
Could be.
Right. Denise, As we mentioned, this is your first full summer as superintendent. What should visitors expect if they come out this year? Is everything really full speed ahead?
No, I would not say it's full speed ahead, except from Mother Nature's perspective, as it always is, including those critters doing their thing. But we do have some reduced capacities as we deal with physical distancing requirements and things like that. And just the logistics involved with housing employees here and at Rock Harbor and the lodge operation. So some places have reduced availability, but as long as folks are planning their trip far in advance or maybe able to take advantage of last minute cancellations and things like that, there's still plenty of opportunity. And as Liz said, it's closer to normal by far than what we had last year. So the lodge is open, their food service will be a little bit different than, you know, the full traditional dining opportunities that they've had in the past. And some of the ferry services are also a little bit reduced this year in terms of capacity.
I know that the latest guidance from the CDC is very fresh indeed, but we have heard that vaccinated folks are now free to go maskless both indoors and outdoors. Have you had time to give any thought to how park staff will be talking to folks about things like masks and physical distance?
It's a great question and certainly breaking news. And as you're probably aware from a bureaucracy standpoint, it's going to take a little bit of time. We were speaking earlier in terms of the technical challenges. So right now the guidance is that masks are required indoors. There are certainly exceptions, and that would be like in a hotel. When you're in a hotel room with your family, you don't need to be wearing a mask. But if you're interacting in a lobby environment, for example, then physical distancing and masks are still required until we hear otherwise from an agency perspective.
Right.
And we'll certainly be putting out information as things change, if they change. We post updates on our website frequently. We also have a Facebook presence, and so we let people know what's happening and what's changing on Facebook frequently. So we will, if things do change throughout the summer regarding masks, we will definitely get the word out so visitors know what to expect.
Liz, so with ferry service resuming, are all methods of coming to the island back online now?
They are. We have the ferries running from Minnesota and Michigan this summer. None of those were carrying passengers last summer. And we also have the seaplane operation operates from Michigan and also from Minnesota. And then private boaters were able to take advantage of coming to the island last summer and had the place to themselves virtually on the water. And of course, this summer, no change for them. So still open for private boats and sailboats to come out. So definitely a lot easier, many opportunities to get there this summer compared to last summer. But we've noticed that people have been very interested in planning their trips to the island. And many of the ferries actually are getting full, or some trips, some dates are already full. So if people are thinking of making a trip out to Isle Royale this summer, they may find that the dates that they've chosen are full on the ferry or the seaplane or the Rock Harbor Lodge is full. So as long as people have some flexibility, they might still be able to squeeze in a trip this summer. But if they don't, Isle Royale is a fantastic place to visit, and it will be just as fantastic in 2022 as it is in 2021 if people are disappointed and aren't able to get a ferry reservation or a seaplane reservation this summer.
Liz, what do you think are some of the assumptions that people might have as they visit Isle Royale for the first time?
Oh gosh, I think one of the biggest assumptions is that if you go to Isle Royale, you have to be a hardcore backpacker, and that's what you need to do when you get out there. And that is definitely a draw for a lot of people. Many people come out, they like to hike the Greenstone Trail, for example, the length of the island. It's about 40 miles, 50 miles long, so they carry everything with them on their back. But that's not by any means the only way to visit and enjoy Isle Royale. As we mentioned previously, the Rock Harbor Lodge offers lodging, lodge rooms, and cabins. They have a couple cabins at Windigo. Most of their operation is at Rock Harbor on the east end. So people can certainly come to Isle Royale, enjoy it, visit it, if they're not a backpacker. Also, sometimes people only have time to come for the day. And while many of our visitors come and stay for 3 or 4 days, it is possible to visit Isle Royale for the day, get an idea what it's like to be on Lake Superior, which for a lot of people is really part of the journey. It's part of the adventures, is being on the lake. And you can get an idea of what Isle Royale looks like, and maybe just gives you that idea of, oh, I want to go back and stay next time. So there really are a lot of different ways to experience the island. And so I think if people only think of Isle Royale as a place to go backpacking, then I think they're missing out a little bit, because you can experience it in a lot of different ways for sure. Canoeing and kayaking is also another fabulous way to visit Isle Royale, and that certainly seen a growing number of kayakers coming to explore the island in that way.
Is it true that you can bring your own kayak on the ferry?
The ferries do carry canoes and kayaks, yes. And we do on the Ranger 3, we also carry small motorboats as well. So there is an opportunity to do that. For people who are coming and staying at the Rock Harbor Lodge, they do rent canoes and kayaks at the Rock Harbor Lodge. So if someone's coming on the seaplane, for example, they can't carry their canoe with them. They could rent a canoe.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking today with two of the staff at Isle Royale National Park. We've got Liz Valencia of the Cultural Resources Division and Park Superintendent Denise Swank. This is a dangerous question to ask on the radio with so many people listening, but I have to. Liz, do you think there are any most overlooked features of Isle Royale that people should plan to check out if they're not, you know, huge backpackers, but they, or maybe if they are and they want to see something a little off the beaten path?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, and we get that a lot. And Isle Royale really isn't the kind of park that has like this superlative, you can't miss kind of scene. Because really what the real joy, and I think the really choice experience of Isle Royale, is being there and being immersed in the island and slowing down, and your cell phone doesn't work, and you can take the time to watch the sunset if you want to. You can listen to the loons. It's all really about the overall experience and about relaxing, and you can really get that anywhere you go on the island. That's one of the nice things about being low visitation. Even if you're camped in a campground that's full, if you just hike down the trail a little ways or hike down the shoreline, you're going to be by yourself and you can just immerse yourself in that experience of Isle Royale. So I wouldn't really say there's any don't miss places, because so much of the island is so beautiful. You can find the experience that you're looking for, and you can get solitude, and you can really feel like you're there living in the moment at Isle Royale, anywhere you are virtually on the island.
Denise, how have you been describing Isle Royale to folks who maybe have never been to Michigan?
I certainly have been doing plenty of that with friends and family from all over the country, as well as some visitors. I did encounter a few, like Liz was talking about, folks who came out last year on day tours, which was really neat to see their enthusiasm. But I talk about it as a place of refuge and renewal. Liz talked about the joy of discovering the island, and that can happen anywhere along the way, on the water, on the land, or some combination thereof. But yeah, it's Lake Superior, which is amazing. And it's just a great experience. And there's not really any way to have the sense of place, you know, whether it's you're here in a storm and the lake is pounding on the shore, or you're here on a beautiful day. We've had a few of them this week where it's, you know, sunny and just really peaceful and calm.
Nice.
I think part of the importance of trip planning that I've talked to people about, you know, they always hear about the logistics and the difficulty and the need to plan in advance, and all of that is very true. But it's also, I think, important to think about, like Liz said, your cell phone isn't going to work. You're going to have a different experience here. And for some people, that's a really significant change from their daily life, and might be worth putting a little bit of thought into, what is it that I'm coming to Isle Royale for, and what am I going to get out of that experience? And you'll be surprised, no matter what you come looking for, you might find something entirely different. But it's worth putting a little bit of that mental energy into trip planning too.
Sure. Liz, a lot of your work has been in the cultural resources section of the park. What are some big things that are happening this year that people might want to be aware of as they're making their plans?
certainly a rich history at Isle Royal. And I would say one of our recent successes is related to the mining history of the island. We have a mine operation on the north side of the island called the Manong Mine. And it was recently documented and designated as a National Historic Landmark. And that includes the historic mining period from the 1870s and 1880s of copper mining, but it also includes an incredible number of pre-contact pits from the thousands of years ago where natives were mining copper early on and using it for various things. So those pre-contact resources plus the historic resources were all designated in a copper mining district and just recently listed on the National Historic Landmark. So just one example of the incredible history on the island that's just, some of it's just now actually getting documented.
That sounds like a lot of fun for anyone interested in archaeology. You know, there's a piece of history that we'd heard about that I wanted to ask you about, Liz. Isle Royal is part of Michigan because during treaty negotiations with the British during the Revolutionary War, the lore has it that Ben Franklin purposely brought an incorrect map of Lake Superior that made it look like Isle Royal was really close to the Upper Peninsula, which, if you look at a map today, it's not that close. Is that a true story?
That is a great story, and that story keeps coming up. And I know there are some people who are looking into it, and the more they look into it, I know John Halsey, who is the state archaeologist in Michigan, has looked into that extensively, and other people have as well. And the more they look into it, the more they're finding out that that might be a true story, or at least some truth to the story. There was a map that was used. The map was wrong. You can see on the map that it had two different islands, and they drew the line, the border between the two islands. The southern island was Isle Royal. That became part of the United States. The northern island was some island that didn't actually exist. It was called Isle Philippo, and that one was on the north, so it was part of Britain. So it's interesting. I think people will still be thinking about and researching that story for the next many years, but it does seem like there may have been some truth that Benjamin Franklin actually did know that that map was wrong. Either way, Isle Royal became part of the United States. And the other question we always get is, why is it part of Michigan? Anybody from Minnesota looks at the map and they say, why isn't Isle Royal part of Minnesota? Why is it part of Michigan? And the main reason behind that story is because Michigan became a state first, and it was part of the copper mining area in Michigan. So sorry, Minnesota, Isle Royal became part of Michigan.
Any piece of Michigan history that involves Ben Franklin shenanigans, I'm here for that. So
yeah, definitely.
Thank you for filling us in. And Denise, we want to thank you as well for telling us about what's going on at the park this summer. Liz Valencia, she's head of the Cultural Resources Division at Isle Royal. And Denise Swank is park superintendent. Ladies, it's a real pleasure talking to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.